Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
We're in a series called Swerve, just talking about the reality that as we drive down the highway at any given time when we least expect it, something is going to happen that may cause us to swerve and lose control, and that we hope that there are guardrails up on the highways so that it will keep us from going off into dangerous territory and will minimize the impact of that swerve. And I was reminded that when Brent was in college, he had an accident. And thankfully, there was a guardrail, and he was not hurt at all. And about a year after that accident, we got a bill in the mail from the state of Texas for $1,000 to fix the guardrail. But still, we were thankful to pay that because Brent was okay. And so as we talk about swerving on the highway, we also talk about swerving on the highway of life. And there's any number of things that might come up in your life that will cause you to swerve. And today, we're going to talk about putting some guardrails in place to protect us from financial swerves. And so I just remind you of the verse from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the faith that we profess. Well, one of the places in our life that a swerve can happen is in our financial life when it comes to our money. And boy, when those happen, we know it and they have consequences for us. And so I want us to talk about that today as we go through this series on just being prepared for life's twist and for life's turns, because I can guarantee you that at some point in your life, there will be a financial swerve. And many people could say to that, amen, this morning. And if it hasn't happened to you yet, I promise it's going to happen to you at some point and at some time. And therefore, be prepared for that. You need to be prepared for that. You need to have built some guardrails in your life that are going to help protect you and keep you out of the danger zone when it comes to your finances. It may be that you lose your job unexpectedly, without any warning or notice. It may be that you end up in the hospital and rack up a really big medical bill. It may be that you're spending more than you make and it just finally catches up with you. It may be that several of these things happen at once. Have any of you ever had that happen before? It could be that your car breaks down and your kid needs braces right before Christmas. I mean, that's just the way that life happens sometimes. And so we're going to deal with financial swerves in our life. And so it would really be wise and be prudent and be smart to build some of these guardrails that will protect you and will protect the people that you love. And that's the reason that the Bible says so much about money. Preachers get accused a lot of talking about money too often, but the Bible talks about money a lot. And the Bible talks about money not really because money is that important. The Bible talks about money because your heart is that important. And Jesus said that where your treasures are, there is where your heart will be also. And so the Bible talks about money because I think I can safely say that God's chief competitor for your heart isn't the devil. God's chief competitor for your heart is money and stuff. Very, very few people wander around debating and asking the question, should I worship God or should I worship Satan? But very, very many of us, even if we don't always consciously pose that question, work through our life with that tension of God or money. Whether we're going to put our faith
in God or whether we're going to put our faith in our money, whether we're going to put our trust in God or money, whether we are going to depend for the provision of our needs on God or whether we're going to depend on money. And Jesus addresses that. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. And he begins by saying, "No one can serve two masters." And right from the beginning of this verse, good red-blooded Americans may not connect at all, because our first reaction is to say, "I don't serve any master. We don't have masters." But Jesus knows better. And so he says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and you will love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and you will despise the other." Jesus is being pretty specific here. He's not leaving any middle ground there, which is where we would really like to walk with Jesus most of the time, right? Jesus, just give us some of that middle ground where we can kind of go both ways. And Jesus is very, very clear here that you can't serve two masters. You can't have two gods. You can't have two allegiances in your life, because you're going to love one and hate the other. You're going to be devoted to one. You're going to be despising the other. And then Jesus gets even more clear about these two masters that are competing. And that's not really the right word, because God is never competing. But these two masters that in our heart we that go back and forth between. And he says, you cannot serve both God and money. And I think that money may be the master that competes with God for most of us. A pursuit of wealth, a pursuit of pleasure, a pursuit of security, a pursuit of a certain standard of living that causes money to become a master in our life. And Jesus says you can't serve God and money. And so that tension exists for us. That God loves you. He created you. He died for you. He cares about you. And he not only wants, he demands that he be the first priority in your life above any and everything else. And he wants for us to completely put our life in his hands and depend on him and find our security and our hope and our happiness in him. But stuff very often gets in the way. Money. And I think that's why the Bible talks so much about stuff and money, because it's one of those areas where we need to build some guardrails. Because really in money, there's danger on both sides of the road. There's danger on both sides of the road when it comes to money. And we need guardrails on both sides of the road, because on one side of the road, if we veer too far and we get off course, one side is all about consuming. But then if we swerve and we overcompensate and we get too far off on the other side of the road, on the other side, we go too far and we become about hoarding. So we've got consuming on one side and we've got hoarding on one side. And both of those are dangerous when they become our master. And here's what I mean by consuming in that sense. Consuming means that you use everything that comes in. That you just use everything that comes in. That you just consume and you use it up. And some of that you use up on really good things. And some of that you just use up on worthless things. And probably if you go too far in this one, you not only have a lot of stuff, you got a lot of debt as well. But then on the other side of the road, you got hoarding. And here's what I mean about going off the road when it comes to hoarding. And that means that you stockpile everything that comes in. It implies this negative connotation of protecting and guarding and hoarding. And saving some is good, but hoarding too much is very unhealthy.
But here's the deal. The root of either side of danger, whether it's consuming or hoarding, the root of it is selfishness. And again, that's where it gets to our heart. Because most of us, if we go too far over on the consuming side of the road, we really are just obsessed with ourselves. And we want what we want, and we think we deserve and should get what we want, and these kind of things are going to make us happy and satisfied. And so we go too far on that side of the road. But then there are others of us who go too far on this side of the road, and it's still selfishness because it's hoarding, because I'm still consumed with myself. And I worry about myself and about my future, and I want to make sure that I'm taken care of. And so here's what is even worse than those two things. Because what usually happens is that a hoarder marries a consumer. If you could be standing here and see how many people just nudged each other or looked at each other, kind of that look out of the side of your eyes. That's what usually happens. Now, we don't like to call them consumers and hoarders. We like to call them spenders and savers, right? That just sounds a little better. Spenders and savers. And so most often spenders and savers get together. Now raise your hand if you are a saver. Okay, if you're a saver, you really are more spiritual. And you really are closer to God because listen to me, God saves, right? Well, okay, but wait a minute. How many of you are spenders? Some people are waving at me. Now, really and truly, we know if you're a spender, you are much more spiritual. And you are much more closer to God because God is a generous giver, right? He's an extravagant giver. See, both of these things are good qualities, and we see both of them in God. The problem is when we get off the road, when we swerve, and life will happen, and it will make us swerve. And so we got to watch out for that root problem, that selfishness, that hoarding or consuming is fueled by greed. And how often does the Bible talk about greed? And how seldom, really, do we talk about greed as the sin that the Bible calls it, and as the problem that the Bible calls it? A preacher that I heard gave this definition of greed. Greed is the assumption that it's all for my consumption. Greed is the assumption that it's all for my consumption, whether you're consuming it with stuff or whether you're consuming it by hoarding it. Greed is that it's all for me. And that heart of greed is selfishness. And greed can look like a hoarder. It can look like a consumer. Either way, it ends up being focused on me. And when that happens, money becomes our master. And Jesus says, you can't have two masters. So I want to give you three words this morning, three words that I hope will help you if this is an issue in your life. And if it's not, again, it's coming. Three words that I hope will help you build a guardrail that'll keep you between the lines, keep you from going off into dangerous territory. Three words that'll help you if you're a saver. Three words that'll help you if you're a spender. And here are the three words: give, save, and live. Give, save, and live. If you can practice these three, you can build some guardrails in your life. But it begins with giving. Because what is the problem? Again, the problem is me. The problem is selfishness. The problem is greed. So it begins with giving, which makes me think about God and other people. And that helps me build a guardrail. It starts with giving because God's antidote to greed and antidote to selfishness is generosity. That's the antidote that God gives in Scripture if greed is a problem, and that is to be generous. If money is a problem, if money is your master, if you have veered off the road on either side of the road in this area, and for me, I'll be honest with you, it looks like hoarding. That's my issue. And it's a real problem with me because I really do put my security
in having the cash. I don't want the stuff. I want the money, because then I feel like I've prepared and I'm going to be okay. And I put my confidence there rather than in God. And I'm being really honest with you. Over and over in my life, God has tested me in this, and He has taught me in this. He has taught me to be generous, to be extravagant, because that does not come naturally to me. If you're a spender, it presents itself in a different light, but the answer is still the same. If you're a spender, happiness gets caught up in things and in stuff, and that's where you get your worth. And that's a problem just as much as my hoarding, because God wants to be the center of our lives, and we always want to make ourselves the center of our lives. And so it begins with giving. And here's the really cool thing. If you will begin with giving, then you can still be a saver and you can still be a spender. Because it's all there in those three words: to give, to save, and to live. But it starts with giving. God wants to be our master, and He's not a harsh master. He's not a task master. Here's what God says in the Old Testament. Kind of the rule of thumb that He gave to His people in the Old Testament was that they were to devote the first 10% to Him. The first fruits off the top begin with giving with 10%. Now, the New Testament doesn't give us that specific injunction. The New Testament, again, goes more toward our heart rather than the law and just says, be a generous giver. And the word there, you've heard this stuff before. The word there is actually a Greek word that means hilarious. Be a hilarious giver. How many of you, when you are giving something, just find yourself laughing out loud? Ha 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 ha! That's what God's looking for. Giving that just brings joy to your heart. Because He's a giver. And He's teaching you to think about other people. And so it begins with giving. And then that leaves you, if you start with the Old Testament, because Jesus is so much more than just the Old Testament. So I think that's just a place to start. If you start there, you still got 90% to do stuff with. And if you saved as much as you gave and you saved 10%, you still got 80% to live on. So those three words: give, save, and live. We tried to teach this to our boys. When I prepared the sermon, I didn't even know JP and Holly were going to be here. I could come up and put him on the spot here and see if what we taught him took. I know him well enough to know which problem he has. But we tried to teach this from the very beginning. When they were real little, we gave them, you know, for their allowance, we gave them 4 quarters. And we had the little container that we got from Dave Ramsey. And they would put, I mean, and we would do this every week. We would watch, we would go through these motions, and they put 1 quarter in the giving. And on the little thing, it looked like a church building. And then they put the next quarter in the saving. And on the little thing, it looked like a bank. And then on the third slot, they got to put 2 quarters. And really, that felt like to them, probably they were putting a whole bunch in there. Really, in the scheme of percentages, we were doing more than the 10%. But the point was to begin to practice, even at an early age, to build this guardrail in their life. That first off, we give to God, and second off, we save, and then we just get to spend the rest. Then as they got a little older, we started giving them, you know, a little bit more money, like $2 rather than $1. No, just kidding. And we'd give them dollar bills. And then they'd put a dollar bill in the saving and a dollar bill in the giving and saving, and then $2 they'd get to put in. And then as they got older, in high school especially, we started, you know, giving them a lot more because we gave them things that they were going to be responsible for. And we didn't make them, you know, we didn't go in their room each time and make them put the money in the slots then. We were hoping that the guardrails had been built. And so we all need guardrails in our life. We all need to build some of those practices and some of those habits in our life. You could do that today with the envelope system. You've probably heard about the envelope system, where you literally take an envelope, and it's your giving envelope. And When the month starts, you go ahead and put in that envelope what you're going to give to God that month. First off the top, first fruits. And then that way when Sunday comes, you don't have to decide, am I going to give this week or not? How much am I going to give this week? How much? No, it's a decision you've already made and you can take care of that. Go ahead and put in another envelope, that amount that you're going to save so that it's there. And then learn to live within your means and live on the rest. So those three words, give, save, and then live. Most people figure this out, figure out that this is necessary, learn to budget once, only when the problem has come, only after the swerve, when the bottom falls out, when the crisis happens, when the accident forces us to change. But what if you were smarter than most people? And you decided today, I'm going to go ahead and start building these guardrails now. I'm going to go ahead and put these in place now before the accident happens, before the swerve takes place. And it's not necessarily easy. In fact, it's very hard. But it's something that you can do. And it'll change your life. It'll change your family tree. It'll affect your family for generations if you can get these guardrails up. And you can keep on the road and out of danger when it comes to your financial life. I want to end with the words of Jesus. Matthew 6:24, which we've talked about, talks about God and money serving two masters. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus goes on and he talks about our needs. He talks about worry. And then he finishes with this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you as well. And that's the point. You can't have two masters. And so seek God first. Seek God's kingdom. That means his will. That means his priorities. That means his mission. That means his values. That in your life and when it comes to your money, you seek God first. With your money. So he says, seek his kingdom. He says, seek his righteousness. That means let God's definition of what is right and good be your definition of what is right and what is good. And then when we put him first, he becomes our master. And he really, really will take care of you. The question when it comes to you and your money is if you're going to believe that. And if you are, on your outline today, I think it may even be on the back, but I just want to ask you to think about what is one step you could take to begin to build these guardrails. It could be that you just decide today, I'm going to begin giving to God first. Maybe that's not something you have practiced. Maybe it's not something you've done. And maybe, honestly, it's something you think, I don't know how we're going to do that. Have you seen our budget? I don't know how, but maybe today you decided, you know what? I really am going to put God first, his kingdom and his righteousness. And that means I'm going to today decide I'm going to start giving to God first. Or maybe for you, it's, you know what, I've been giving, but I haven't been giving to God on a regular basis. I kind of just give him the leftovers. Maybe today you decide, you know what, I'm going to put a plan in place to decide how I'm going to start giving God 10%. Or maybe you've been doing that, but God's going to convict you that he wants you to grow in your giving and be a hilarious giver. And you want to find a way to make that happen. Or maybe it's just, you know what, this week, to help combat my selfishness, I just want to find a way to be generous this week. I want to find an opportunity I can be generous this week. However you do it, I just encourage you to take a next step and build this guardrail in your life.